Tonight on TMS PM, how about a little more Japan?
Green peas are gross.
Junk food makes you depressed.
Hazard reruns are in trouble.
Son of Barney is bad.
Dan is here.
Your questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
The bonus episode we know as TMS PM. PM edition of the morning stream. I'm Scott, that's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott. How are you?
Fine. It's, Thursday afternoon. It's about 4:30 p.m. Mountain Time Zone. What's the temperature outside? Let's take a look.
Well, for me, it's 79 degrees, according to the Apple Watch here.
Well, nice for you guys. It is 90, a balmy 98.
Whoa, 98. Holy mackerel.
That's not as hot as 104 yesterday, so that's good. We'll take that.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, warm in the valley, but cooler air coming in, probably from the east, I assume, because it's coming from you, probably.
Probably. We had some rain today, so that cooled things off very nicely.
All right. On the next half hour, we'll get to traffic. And
got a pile up on the 714.
Oh, no, I'm going down. Ah!
Make sure to go to Jiffy Lube for all of your
freaking hate radio.
Change needs.
I like Beats 1. Don't like radio, though. Hey, what's going on? We're going to do a show here together, and later Dan will be here talking some board game stuff, and the upcoming Gen Con, I'm sure, will be on his mind, heavily on his mind. Also, our little our good times to be had at Nerdtacular in the game room. We're looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And we'll do your questions later as well. We got some news and some other stuff. But before we get to any of that, Brian brought another Japan story.
Yes, one last one, but you know there might be other tidbits sprinkled in throughout. Yeah,
stuff will come up. We know that. Like somewhere a conversation will be like, oh, you remember, blah, and you'll say, oh, that reminds me of the time the businessman in Japan pooped on me. Right.
Yeah. And I got to thank listener Chris Kavanaugh for this one, because he suggested, and among other things, he emailed me very early on and suggested, like, you know, going to a maid cafe in Akihabara, which we did, going to the robot restaurant. He suggested the Golden Guy District, which we never exactly made it to, but things that were close enough to that. The other recommendation he had was for a restaurant that turned out to be very, very close to the hotel. And so this is one that I decided I would schedule, that I would make reservations for, but not give Tina or Tristan any sort of warning about, any sort of expectations about what it's about, because this is one of those restaurants that is much about the experience as it is about the food.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that if you are planning on going to Japan anytime soon, to anyone who's listening, and you want a great experience and you don't want to be spoiled, then write this down. Kagaya, K-A-G-A-Y-A.
Kagaya.
That's the name of the restaurant, okay. And it's in Minato, the Minato Prefecture.
I like when Godzilla really took it to Kanaya or whatever the hell he said.
Kagaya. Kagaya. Yeah, there was knockdown, drag-out fights between Godzilla and Kagaya.
That's a good one.
And then I'll suggest that if you don't want to be spoiled, you just write the name of that restaurant down, put in your book, make reservations for it, and pull the earbuds out of your ears for about 5 minutes while I tell the story.
All right. Don't want to be spoiled.
Don't want to be spoiled. The rest of you, tuck in.
Okay.
So this is one of these places now. Everywhere, because of the inability of Tokyo to grow outwards, it has to grow upwards and downwards, right?
Right?
You can't really expand your shop unless you go up from the street or further down. And so you run into a lot of places that you go where you're going down 4 or 5 flights of stairs before you actually get to the place.
Yeah.
And that was the case with this place. We had to go down 3 or 4 flights of stairs, narrow, narrow stairs, and to get to the restaurant at the bottom. And the
You get a little claustrophobic. Do those kind of stairs bug you at all?
A little bit, not too much. Basically, if I'm in a place where I can't turn around, then I get claustrophobic.
Yeah.
If I'm crawling like Bruce Willis through the air vents of Nakatomi Plaza, then I'm getting claustrophobic.
You have a few laughs, right?
Come to LA. It'll be great. So we get down there. Tina's actually leading the way down there. So she pokes her head in the restaurant first, and she notices, oh, there's six tables on the floor, seating on the floor on the little mats. Got to take your shoes off. And none of the tables are available, and everyone in the restaurant is looking at her.
Oh, no.
And she just basically peered her head around the corner into the restaurant, and now everybody's looking at her with these smiles on their faces.
Okay.
And Tristan and I are kind of waiting behind her in the hallway, and she kind of turns back to us and says, they're all looking at me. I'm like, oh, you know, is there a place to sit? No, there's no place to sit. I don't know what to do. So finally, somebody gets up. They finished paying their bill. We had a reservation for 9 o'clock. We got there at 9 o'clock. Yeah. And somebody finished up, paid their bill, went to this little cubbyhole system with lockers and pulled their shoes out, put their shoes on, and edged by us up the stairs to let us in.
Okay.
So we get in there and we take their table and we take our shoes off.
Right.
We sit down on the floor, which, you know, I'm not a flexible guy, and I wish I was more flexible. But the sitting on the floor thing, I would not be able to do it.
Yeah.
Like they do it in
sure.
Tokyo.
I don't even know if I'm that comfortable doing that either.
It's a lot. Exactly. I mean, you know, sitting on the floor when you're on the carpet and you can kind of put your elbows back and one leg over the other, piece of cake. But when you're sitting on the floor kind of cross-legged, I can barely do cross-legged without kind of having, you know, changing up my position every few minutes to get comfortable.
Yeah. It's just my squatting Korean siblings, same thing. Nobody can sit like they do. It's right. Totally weird.
Yeah, you can't do it when you get old, I guess, or just can't get flexible.
I'm too white.
So yeah, that's probably it. So we sit down and we still have other people in the restaurant kind of looking at us. There's only one other couple in there that are tourists. They're from Australia, we later find out. But everybody else in there are Japanese groups of people, some businessmen, obviously coming off of a long day of work and drinking their woes away, et cetera. But you know, we sit down, and after a minute or two, the host, who is also the chef and busboy and does everything in this place, basically he manages all six tables in this little restaurant, and he's got his kitchen kind of over to where you can kind of see over. It's almost like you're in their house. He's got a half wall.
Oh yeah,
And you can kind of see him preparing stuff in there, but. It's a one-man operation,
right.
And his name is Mark Kagaya.
Okay,
don't think his real name is Mark.
That seems less Japanese
name.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yeah, hello, Mark.
Right. So he comes over and he immediately goes into the Darth Vader theme,
right.
And at the top of his lungs, he's singing.
What?
And it's like, and he's walking towards me. With his arms out, like he's like I'm the death. Basically, my head is the Death Star, and he's
what?
He's going to grab it.
Why was he doing this?
And because he does this.
Okay.
Apparently.
All right.
And Tina and Tristan are eyes wide open, mouths practically on the floor, like just like what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And he's walking towards me, making this, and he gets to the high part. He goes da 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 da. And he grabs my hand and says, you Brian? And I said, yes. He's like, oh, your reservation. Who's this, your family? He's like, yeah, this is my wife and my son. Oh, welcome, welcome. Here's the drink menu. And he tosses the drink menu on our table and walks away. So all this buildup, and then he just tosses the drink menu.
That's great.
We open up the drink menu, and it's all written in crayon. It's basically a child's notebook, school notebook, with the drinks and prices written in crayon. And that's like sake and beer and cocktails and soft drinks and stuff like that. And then the bottom corner, it says pick a country.
Okay.
It's like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I'm going to do sake. And Tina decides she's going to do sake. Tristan can have a Coke. All right. So he comes back over. He says, oh, do you know what you want to drink? And
why is he the guy from episode one that's trying to sell speeders?
That's right. He's so bulba all of a sudden. Yeah.
Man.
Anakin, you're not going to raise my pod razor. So he says, "You know what you want to drink?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure. We're going to do sake, and he's going to have a Coke, and we choose England." He's like, "Okay," and he disappears. Goes in the kitchen, and I see him opening a bottle of Coke, and I see him, you know, getting a couple bottles of sake and some glasses, and setting this tray on the counter.
Yeah.
And then he goes over to this little room on the side that is blocked by a curtain. And kind of disappears behind the curtain.
Okay.
And he comes out holding a Paddington bear.
Okay.
Okay. And he's not just holding the Paddington Bear, he's walking the Paddington Bear across the floor.
Oh, gosh.
And he gets over to the tray, and he makes the Paddington Bear do some stretches and some, like, lunges and flexing. And then the Paddington Bear picks up the tray and walks it across the floor to us, all guided by him, of course.
Wow.
And he's giving the voice to Paddington Bear, saying, "Oh, I can do it. I can do it. I can make it. I can carry this. It is not too heavy. Oh, my God, it's too heavy. It's too heavy." And it's, like, crushing Paddington Bear. And then he finds the strength, builds it up from somewhere. He goes, "Okay, I can make it."
And again, just to get this straight in my head, he's purveyor, cooker, he's everything.
He is the Robin Williams of Tokyo, apparently.
Oh my gosh. All right.
At least that's what they call him on a few of these travel sites. He's walking the tray over to us, and he gets the tray and puts our drinks in front of me. And you know, everybody in the restaurant is smiling because they've all had their orders delivered in some strange fashion, right, according to some country.
Right.
And he provided a list of countries, so he had like 8 we could choose from.
Oh, okay.
And then he reaches behind him, pulls out another child's notebook, throws it on the table, says, "There's the menu. Figure out what you want to eat," and then walks away.
What? Something about this is ringing familiar. I maybe have seen this somewhere, but it's just barely familiar.
I've never seen anything like this. And Tina and Tristan are laughing their heads off. They're fishing for their phones to get their phones out to videotape this guy.
Yeah.
And so we were looking at the menu. Well, the menu, much like the drink menu, is a child's notebook written in crayon, and it doesn't list any food.
Okay. At all.
It basically has in big crayon letters on each page, or 3 pages, and then on each page it says, "Master, I'm in the mood for something delicious. I'm starving. Give me something to eat." And the next page says, "Master, I'm not so hungry tonight, but I'd like something light. Give me something like that."
Okay.
And then the price. And then the third one says, "Master, I'm in the mood for something crazy. Wow me. Surprise me. Give me something. You know what I mean?"
Yeah.
And then the price.
Okay. What the hell? Now, is it like this for regulars or just people?
Yes.
Okay.
It is like this for, because we saw other people coming in. And it was almost always the same kind of thing. It would be one person who knew what was going on, bringing in a group of friends or coworkers or whatever who had no idea what was about to happen.
Okay. All right.
So he comes back over and, "Do you know what you want to eat?" And I said, "Yeah, we're going to do this third one. We want to be surprised." Actually, I chose that one. Tristan and Tina chose "We Want to Eat Light."
Yeah, I would have been careful. I'm with Tina and Tristan. I would have not had any idea what was coming on that surprise meat list.
So he goes up to me. So he says, "All right, do you know what you want to eat?" And I say, "Yeah." And I point to the one I want. He says, "No, you have to say it." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And so I say, "Master, I'm in the mood for something crazy. Surprise me. Wow me. You know what I'm talking about?" And he's like, "No, now sing it." So I had to sing at the top of my lungs, "Master, I'm in the mood for something crazy."
Yeah.
And the rest of the crowd in the restaurant is clapping along, you know, keeping a beat for me to sing to.
Amazing.
And then he picks up the menu and walks off.
Okay.
And I look over at the table next to me. I said, "Did I just order for the whole table?" And she says, "Yeah, you just ordered for the whole table." So Tina and Tristan are now eating what we're eating.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, other people are wrapping up and they're asking for their bill, and their bill is being delivered by a monkey wearing a trench coat, a little toy monkey wearing a trench coat that he holds up in front of him and says, "Oh, here's you ready to pay? Here's your bill."
Wait, and a real monkey, a natural monkey?
What's that? No, a little toy monkey.
Okay, not a living monkey.
All not right. A living monkey. All right. And then the monkey opens up its trench coat, and it's completely naked and has an erection, and the erection has a bill wrapped around it.
I love how matter of fact you're telling me this part.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's after a while, you pretty much get used to everything.
Weird.
It's happening.
That's weird.
So he he's serving the other people. He's bringing them courses of food, and then he starts bringing us courses of food. And we have this awesome, like, dashi soup with some sort of fish that's been mashed into balls, like fish balls. That's a common thing in Japan, these fish balls. And just sounds fun to say fish balls.
I know, right?
And it's got that in there. And then he comes around and brings us a mackerel, like pieces, like basically a whole mackerel cut into thirds.
Like my dad used to say, holy mackerel, he'd say.
Holy mackerel, yes.
Based on that and fish.
Well prepared, perfectly cooked, and my first bite I realized, oh, yeah, this mackerel hasn't been boned. So,
oh, shite.
Mackerels have a lot of freaking bones.
Oh, my gosh.
So
what'd you have to do?
Just, you know, basically pull the little bones out of my mouth and eat. And we're eating this thing. And it's a block of fish, basically. So we're having to pick it up with our chopsticks, take a bite out of it, set the fish down, go through the food in our mouths, which tasted awesome. I mean, it was so well prepared.
Yeah.
But we're like, oh, bone or bone or bone.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, if I actually flip over the mackerel, I can see like the main spine and the
scales and stuff.
A lot of the bones coming out of it. So I can actually just kind of peel that off and take a lot of the bones out of it. And Tristan and Tina followed after I did that.
All right.
And so delicious. I mean, this is all good. And he's bringing us miso soup.
I'd worry, though, if you take the bones out, it'll come out in a clown suit and punch you in the nuts for no reason or something. Like,
well, it's funny you say that, I'll get to that.
All right.
So, you know, it continues on and he, you know, some people leave, another group of businessmen come in, three businessmen, one guy's been there before and the other two have never been there. And these guys are coming off drinking somewhere. Like the typical Japanese businessman's day, if you're not married, maybe even if you are married, is to go to work at 8, maybe 9, work until 6 or 7, go drinking, and then go, and then go out and have dinner. And maybe if you get too drunk, stay in a capsule hotel because you can't make it back home.
Right. Because you're going to, yeah, because you've done poor things with your night.
Exactly. Poor choices. Exactly.
Sure.
So Japanese businessmen come in and they sit over there and he's talking to them and he's talking to us. And how'd you find out about restaurant? I said, oh, yeah, I do a radio show. And one of the listeners to the show let me know to try this place out. And he's like, yeah, I don't know radio show. So his English pretty good for the most part, doesn't know radio
but if
show.
He doesn't know a thing, he'll just say he doesn't, and then he'll pronounce the thing he doesn't know.
Right, exactly.
Fantastic.
Exactly. So we're getting ready to go, and so it's time for us to ask for the bill.
Yeah.
And I have this on video, but I'll send you the file. You can enjoy it later. But so he says, okay, and he, you know, wraps up a couple things, giving some people some last food. And then he, again, disappears in his little curtained-off closet. And before he does that, he sticks a picture of a frog, a giant picture of a frog, up blocking two-thirds of the closet entrance.
Okay.
And he's in there for a second, and then all of a sudden we hear the Darth Vader theme again.
It's him, you doing it, he's singing it.
He's singing it.
Okay.
And we see a little frog puppet rise up above the picture.
Okay.
And he says, oh, hello, my name is Jack. And we all go, hi, Jack. And he says, hi. And da, da, da. And I'm from Colorado in the USA. And I like the Rockies. And da, da, da. He knows Colorado Rockies.
Wow.
That is no radio
show. They love baseball over there. So.
Yes, exactly.
Sure.
And so he's basically, and he's talking to each of the different tables, as this frog is anyway, and comes back around to, well, I have a brother here too. You want to meet him? And we're like, yeah, sure, let's meet him. He says, his name is Dick, and he'll only come out if you start chanting.
What?
So,
I know where this is going.
You pretty much know where this is. Y'all, you think you know where this is going.
All right. Okay.
So he starts leading us in a chant of Dick, Dick, Dick. And as you know, basically after about 30 seconds of this, the picture of the frog comes down. He stands up. He's wearing a giant frog suit.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the frog puppet is now his unit, and he's bashing everybody in the head.
What?
with his frog penis.
Wait a minute. He's got a frog puppet on his unit?
Yes.
His actual penis.
Well, I don't know. He's using the puppet to kind of cover his crotch area. I don't think he actually did a...
He's not wearing like a sock.
He's not doing like a dick and a puppet kind of thing. It's He's just holding this frog puppet over his crotch and then going up to every mostly the women and kind of bonking them in the side of the head, going ooh, ooh, like thrusting into them with the frog puppet.
What the crap? You know, this is where the comparison to Robin Williams kind of ends, doesn't it? A little bit.
I think so. This is a little bizarre even for Mork.
Weird.
And then he stops and of course the the inside the mouth of the frog puppet penis is the bill, and I have to reach in there and grab it.
Oh my gosh.
We pay our bill and then we leave.
That is the weirdest thing. And he's doing well, clearly. Everybody goes.
He's doing well. It's so busy that we couldn't even get reservations the first night we wanted them or the original time we wanted them. I mean, it was like pushed off to a later date and time because
all the food is good.
Really good food. Everything was delicious.
Okay.
And he's making it all. Hmm. And MacBook PM asks, did you tip the guy? Nope, because it's Japan and you don't tip.
Yeah, they don't have you tip it over there.
They build it into the price, which is, I would have loved to give him a big tip, so to speak.
Slip him
a, even though that sounds how that.
Slip him a couple billion yen, which is like 10 bucks or something.
Right, exactly.
Did you guys have to run around with yen? You had to do conversion and all that? Okay.
Yeah, it's cash is king over there, as several people told me before we went. And the bigger places will take credit cards. Tower Records took credit cards, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you want to make sure you've got cash everywhere you go.
Oh, interesting.
And
I thought they paid for a lot of stuff with their phones and stuff. Like, they're way ahead of us on that. Maybe not, I guess.
Some places did have that, but I didn't know if it would work. I couldn't even use my Starbucks card at one point I did go to a Starbucks while Tina was shopping.
No, you got to do that. You have to at least see what a Starbucks in Japan's like.
Yeah, there's I was really bummed. That. I was really hoping to get a Starbucks mug
that
had Starbucks in Japanese because that would have been awesome, but they have the same logo everywhere.
Big anime-faced logo head.
English everywhere. This is a country that apparently is enamored with Helvetica and Impact.
Yeah, that's font.
Those
is
are
everywhere.
The only two fonts you'll see in Japan.
That's true.
But you will
see
them everywhere.
Yeah, they love that. If it isn't Chinese, even the Chinese characters are like Helvetica almost.
Are they really?
Yeah, well, like the same thickness, same hard edge ends on them.
Yeah.
Like
it's
not
Japanese
the
characters. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they don't do it like the old days where it was all like
it's all swashy. We saw that in a lot of places, but yeah, I know exactly what you mean. But there were some places where they did like a really stylized kind of thing. I was thinking, oh, that's kind of like the Bodoni of Katana.
Yeah, see? Dude, that's amazing.
But
wow.
But so much English there. Apparently, even their movies, they don't dub them unless they're super, super popular. So
I see.
And we kind of wanted to go to a movie while we were out there. It felt like it would have been a waste of 2 or 3 hours. Like we could have been doing something else, but
it's all tentacle porn anyway over there, isn't it?
It's all hentai.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you get like couches with little end tables to put your drinks on. Hmm. The movies are in English and it kind of would have been interesting to see, but Tina had no desire to see Mad Max again, which had just come out.
That's right.
Japan.
She wasn't the fan that you were.
She wasn't, no. That. But it had just come out the week we were there.
Dang. Well, there you have it then. The ultimate in Japan stories. That was fantastic.
So Tadpool, look for that video posted in the Tadpool stream shortly.
I love it. All right, I'll watch for that as well. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk to Dan. Because Dan's here. He's going to talk about board games and all that stuff.
I ate up all of our news time. I'm sorry,
no,
people.
No, dude, it's fine. Hey,
all
listen.
All those stories that we teased at the beginning of the show, you're not going to hear any of them.
You're not getting any of them. Although I just realized I didn't mean to delete them. I meant to copy them out hard. There we go.
Undo.
So let's do some music. You brought some with you. What do you got here for me?
I did. This one comes from somebody named Brian. Not me. No relation. Greetings, spleen and bladder.
Oh.
I would like to request a song for my wife, Lori. Laura, officially, but her friends call her Lori. We'll be celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary on June 26th. Congratulations, you guys. I'm writing this a little late, but it has taken me forever to think of a good request. If you could dedicate a song to her even after our anniversary, that would be super awesome. She's a huge fan of TMS and listens most days, especially Tuesdays. Well, I hope she listens Thursdays. She's the one who got me into TMS as well as a lot of other awesome things. One of those things, other things, is the band Live. They're one of her favorite bands from the 90s. And I remember when we first started dating, she played a cover for me that they did of I Walk the Line by Johnny Cash. She usually doesn't get into covers, but she loves that one. If you can find that, play it. Any cover of blah, 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 blah. She has a delightfully horrible sense of humor and she loves stupid things. It's why she married me. To my wife, raid leader, mother to an awesome daughter, and overall awesome person, I love you and you never have to apologize for your terrible sense of humor to me.
Nice.
It's one of the reasons I love you. Throw a dodo. Signed, Brian.
Oh, I love those guys. I was a huge Live fan.
Live, man. Yeah. Pain Lies on the Riverside and Throwing Copper.
Copper was huge. That Throwing Copper album got more play around here, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, with really the good. Lightning crashes, right? That was the big one. And I Alone.
Lightning crashes. And Old Mother Dies.
That's the one.
I know what's up.
Yep. So on their greatest hits that they came out with in 2004, they included this cover of Johnny Cash's I Walk the Line. That album is called Awake, The Best of Live. Here's Live and I Walk the Line.
All right. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day is through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And the happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
That's pretty much what I remember from those guys. That sounds about right.
Isn't that awesome?
By the way, Ed Kowalczyk. However you say his name. He left the band, started his own stuff, and I was just going to make a point about him. What was I going to say about him? There was something. Oh, he appeared in, there it is, David Fincher's Fight Club. He was a waiter who serves the character Edward Norton and Helena Bonham Carter. It's his only acting credit.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because he was.
Yeah, blessed. If you want clean food, avoid the clam chowder.
Exactly. Stay away. Time to call Dan. Let's get Dan in here.
All right.
Damn it. That made a sound. All right. Dan's right there. Add to the call. Here he comes. He's fresh and funky.
The board game.
I was gonna play this.
The board game.
I have a thing for him. We haven't played it in a while here. Thinking about
it. Feel like I'm an intruder stealing your stuff when I hear that.
Intruder
that.
Alert.
Intruder alert. Intruder alert.
Get him, Dan, the game board man, board game man, tabletop man. He's here.
You almost did it.
I know. I almost got it out. Almost. Dan is always here. Well, he's here about every other Thursday. And man, you're hurtling ever quicker to your Gen Con moment this year.
Yeah, you're killing me, Smalls.
We're gonna miss you, man. Dude, it's not gonna be the same without you this year. It's gonna be weird.
I might have to stow away in someone's. I think Fitzy might be flying out there after Gen Con, you know, in the middle of Gen Con. I might have to stow away with him and just come and hang out a couple days with you guys.
Sneak in, sneak out. You'd be welcome. Dan comes on the show, talks about the latest in tabletop gaming, what's happening, what's cool, what's not. And, well, we never really talk about what's not, but tell us what's cool today.
Well, one of these days I'm going to tell you something that really sucks. But we'll worry about that another day after we get you real versed in the board game world. But you know, it's Thursday. It's kind of like a Friday. It's a holiday weekend. We're all excited. We get to hang out here with my boys, have a little bubbly out of my current geek glass here.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. Support the team.
Some Carolina Brewing Company Summer Pale Ale. I hope you guys are. Well, usually Ibbot's got something cold. You got anything cold?
I have a Coke Zero right now. Cold water. Not very impressive.
Does water count?
It's cold.
All right.
So wait, can you guys, before we get into my board game, you guys settle a little thing? You guys are the kings of movies.
Sure.
Settle a little thing, let's just say a debate that we've been having. Now, Scott, I hear you like Mad Max.
I love
Mad
Max.
He was a replicant. The whole time.
I love Mad Max beyond words. It's one of my favorite movies of the last decade and easily on my top 10 list of movies of all time.
So when we talk about reboots or reimagining or the same world, now, do you look at those movies as an homage or do you look at almost as a slap in the face to older movies?
It depends on the movie and the treatment and who's making it and all of that. Because this is George Miller, I already know that we're getting the guy who invented the entire universe of Mad Max.
And I want to say that I heard somewhere that this is not, that Mad Max wasn't a reboot. It was more like a sequel. I mean, these are events that took place in the same world,
or
just
the same
played
universe
by a different actor. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I like that sort of thing.
So
too. I
mean, in a way it's a reboot, but in a way it's not a reboot. So yeah, I can see where you're going. Sure.
So if we got let's just say we get a remake or reboot of something like Breakfast Club or Goonies, or let's just say we had one of the characters from Goonies and their kids are going on an adventure. I mean, are those either one of those, are those
like
slap in the face?
Right?
Yeah. Do we welcome? Yeah, exactly. Do we welcome that if it's, you know, let's just call it ideal situation. If it's a great director and we get a cast, do you welcome those things or do you say no, never again do we want to see another Goonies or Breakfast Club?
I always say, let's see how you do. And if it sucks, I'll tell you. So,
yep, but you welcome it.
Yeah,
welcome
it's fine.
It with open arms, especially if it's somebody, somebody good. I mean, I'm maybe one of the only ones who is looking forward to this Ghostbusters. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I am looking forward to this new Ghostbusters thing with Kristen Wiig.
It'd be fine. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, sometimes they completely blow it. Everybody wanted a new Indiana Jones with Harrison Ford, but that was a terrible, terrible film. But I'm cool with waiting to see how it turns out before I pass any kind of judgment.
I agree.
Yeah.
Cool. Great.
Depends on the movie. Because since we're the masters of movies, did we answer that?
You're kind of on my side. Everybody else is like, don't ever touch.
Nah.
Because we had this little debate on our last show. And when I plug you later, I'll kind of tell you what we did. But we had a little debate and everybody was completely against redoing. Because, you know, we're all kids of the 80s.
Yeah, sure.
We love those great movies. Yeah. And there are some movies.
Yeah.
You know,
are there
that
movies you say,
do.
Yeah. I mean, are there movies you'd say, okay, that movie just can't be touched?
I don't know. I mean, that's where like the difference between something like The Breakfast Club versus something like, you know, something like Goonies versus Breakfast, because obviously Goonies, it's modernization and it's in this world. Like something like Breakfast Club is just you're just taking new kids and throwing them in there, and you obviously got to update your dialogue to make it more hip and more now.
Well, and I think you hit on one of the best examples, Breakfast Club or any of the John Hughes movies. I feel like they kind of have a wall around them, protection around them, because John Hughes isn't with us anymore, right? There's no way for him to sign off on somebody doing a reboot. And any of those movies, in my opinion, would be foreboden.
It'd be really hard to do. I wouldn't want to go near him with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
But at the same time, if somebody came out tomorrow and said, Scott, they're remaking... You know, I mean, how did parents in the 60s react when they were younger in the 60s and they heard... You know, they saw the original Ocean's 11 and loved it. When they heard there was a new Ocean's movie coming out, did they all have a total canary? You're making a classic.
See, that's a good example because the director of the original Ocean's 11 is dead too. So he couldn't sign off on it.
Well, I mean, even they don't care about this whole sign off thing. Only works if they have like legal rights to sign off on it. And I'm not sure what John Hughes may or may not have much control over that, his estate, right. I mean. So I don't know. But even
when I say that, I don't mean sign off from a legal point. I mean sign off from a, okay, I approve of this point.
Right, right, right. I'm just saying I don't. Hollywood doesn't give two shits,
well,
sadly.
And he would probably, yeah. You know, if he was alive, he'd be able to give his take on every step of the way. Say,
sure,
oh,
sure.
That's cool. Or,
sure.
No,
or yeah,
that.
He could hate it from the beginning, or he may say it's going great, or, you know, whatever. Like James Cameron recently said he really liked this new Genesis movie, which is turning out to be kind of funny because no one else likes it.
But it's funny, the commercials that usually have the blurbs from so-and-so from New York Times says, it's fantastic. You look in every single blurb and there's like four of them are all from James Cameron.
Yeah.
So this movie's epic, James Cameron.
I guess the problem I have is that I don't feel like, I think it's weird that we all think we have ownership of these things because they came out when we were kids, when we were most susceptible to their awesomeness. And, you know, there were plenty of people around who were older and more mature that were like, Star Wars, this is dumb. But for us, it was this generationally defining moment, right? So when it comes again and they're poopy, I'm happy to say these new ones are crap. The old ones still hold up and I'm okay with it. I just don't think we should be it's not like we're stewards and someone came and stole it from us. People that say, so-and-so came and stole your childhood. F off. I hate that.
I am looking forward to the new Vacation movie with Ed Helms. I mean, there's a couple things in the trailer that kind of make me roll my eyes, but...
Well, I mean, think how racy the original Vacation was. I mean, that's kind of what they're doing now. They're taking it to that next level.
Right.
I mean, some of the stuff they did in that for the time was incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My biggest thing that I would love is, I don't know how many times have we heard that they were going to make another Dark Crystal? Can you imagine what they could do nowadays with animation
puppeteering?
Like, I mean, why?
Like 3D models, Skeksis, and yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just a different... But see, that's the thing. Like, is somebody one day going to be mad? I don't know. What does everyone love now? Let's say Marvel movies. When they decide to reboot the Iron Man franchise, there's going to be a whole generation of kids going, you're ruining my childhood. No, you're not. You're making another movie, and if it's good, you'll like it. And if you don't, you still have your old one, jackass.
Right.
I don't know why you
worked
that
shit. No, go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
I didn't hear anybody complain when they remade the Ang Lee Incredible Hulk movie.
Right. Well, some did, but not because that one was good.
Eric Bana was the only one you heard complaining.
Sure. But, you know, it's only bad until it's good, and then it's fine. Yeah. And then if it sucks, well, that's fine, too. Like, can I still go watch Raiders and Temple of Doom and have a blast? Yes.
Of course.
Because, I still know in the back of my head, they came in with Crystal Skull and sullied the name. But it doesn't change how great those first movies were. So F off. Anyway, sorry, Dan. I don't know if you wanted to go down that hole or not, but there it was.
No. I was just going to say that you know that there's probably some kid that's like 10 or 12 that in 10 years he'll be the perfect Tony Stark.
Yeah, of course
you know,
he will.
We just don't know right now.
Right. And so, it may change. The character will change. They'll tweak it. It won't be quite the same. Like, we just got to quit holding on to these things like they matter that much. They just don't. They don't matter. They're great and they're important and it's art and it's you know, there's nostalgia and all that stuff. You know, I don't want to diminish any of that. But the minute somebody says, they're making a new Ghostbusters, everyone takes a collective shit. And I don't understand it. It's like, well, okay,
and
let's see
and
try.
I want to be on an open mind. Like you said, you don't want to take a collective crap right away. Let's give them a shot.
Yeah.
And then if they crap all over it, then we get mad.
Yeah, we always act like we're not like old people who want you to get off their lawn. But we totally are, dude. We're worse than them. We got to quit acting like we own those movies and just and be glad they came when they did and we got what we got and then wait for the next one. All right, sorry.
So speaking of 3D models.
Yes.
I want to talk about a game called Flick 'Em Up. You know, I love the dexterity games where we're talking about, you know, rolling dice down the stairs, kind of like that other game, or where flicking things like Pitch Car. Flick 'Em Up has little meeple guys, and it's set in this old west. It's got this old western town. I kind of tweeted you guys a picture of us playing it last weekend earlier. I'm not sure if you saw that picture.
Yeah.
But it comes with a bunch of different scenarios. You've got the different guys. So what you do is on your turn. Now, they've got, like I said, a bunch of scenarios. The basic scenario is just kind of like an OK Corral thing where it's 5-on-5 and you're just trying to wound the other guy or take each time you wound a guy 3 times, that kills him. You have to kill 3 of the other guys. But you're flicking the little disc. So you have a disc that lets you move. And then there's an even smaller little cylinder. That's how you shoot. So when you flick to move, and then you put your guy down, and then you have to flick from left or right because they're hands. So you got like the guns, so you have to flick from one side or the other. And then if you knock the guy over, that does a wound to them. Now, sounds a lot easier. You know, flicking it sounds a lot easier than I mean, it is. It's pretty hard to actually hit these little guys because you kind of either get in the zone or you're gonna just completely miss them like crazy, mm-hmm, which is what I do a lot. It's just you get in the zone for one game, the next game you're just hitting. You're hitting cactus, wooden cactuses all over the place. But
it's so interesting to see these physics games pop up so much lately.
What's the name of this one again?
This is called Flick 'em Up, kind of like stick 'em up.
Flick 'em up, okay.
But don't you think that's interesting? It's like a trend. I'm just seeing a lot of like physics-based kick a little dude across the board tabletop experiences. Am I wrong to see it as a trend?
There's this move to the lighter family and just turn your brain off games right now. Mm-hmm. You know, with dexterity and things like that.
Weird.
Listen, you know, trying to get Tristan to play something like this over Abyss would be a lot easier.
You know, and what's funny about things like Abyss, because it's so light that it's just a matter of getting over that hurdle of, it's that learning hurdle. Exactly. If you can get over that little hurdle, and then once you learn the game, I guarantee you, once Tristan learns and sees that, he's going to ask for that game like crazy.
Oh, totally. That's what happened with Ticket to Ride and... what's the one with the, oh my God, the big popular one, Catan, Settlers of Catan.
Oh, Settlers, yeah.
Yeah, he's big on that one after that initial learning curve, after getting over that hump. Mm. This looks great. This looks like so much fun.
Yeah.
So it's by a company. Now, this is kind of an offshoot of, if I'm correct, this is an offshoot. It's called Pretzel Games. It's an offshoot of Z-Man Games. It's kind of the company that also owns Z-Man Games. And they just wanted to do games that are just kind of light and fun. And more dexterity in nature. The biggest problem is it's got a really nice box. It's got a lot of wood in it, so it's about $70 when it does come out. Mm. But it's well worth it.
I like the art on the building fronts. That stuff's cool.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it sure seems like it takes a lot of room though. Is that true?
Well, it's just, I mean, it's your table, so I mean it can. I mean, because basically you're flicking, so I mean you could have either take up a lot of room or take up a small room, depending on how the size. You know, you want a good table that has a little bit of good action as far as the movement goes.
Are the little yellow squares, are those supposed to be tumbleweeds or are those blocks of cheese? Because I'm getting hungry looking at this.
They're just big decayed cheese that you can hide behind.
Like the Old West, right? It's historically accurate. You know,
the Old West, Wisconsin.
I understand completely. This looks pretty neat.
I wanted to ask Ibbot a question, real
quick.
Now, when you were over in Japan, did you get to go into any game stores at all?
I'm glad you asked. Yes, we went up to, it's funny because there are these, you know, tall bookstores. I was talking about how everything is up or down, where we basically had to go up several different flights of escalators. And it's one of these things where the bottom has like children's books. You go up an escalator and now you've got like young adult fiction. And then you go up an escalator, you've got comic books and graphic novels. And then you go up another one. It's like, oh, there's naked anime. Oh, and you go up from that one, board games.
Wow. Couldn't they put the naked on the top shelf?
You would think
floor,
the naked should be on the very top floor. Because you basically, it's not like you go up the escalator, make an immediate U-turn and go up the next escalator. You have to go around that whole floor to go up the next escalator.
You got to go through the porn.
You had to go through the porn. Yeah. And I got lost. I ended up going through that damn porn section like 4 or 5 times before I found the escalator over on the other side.
People like and the now, porno over there in Japan, dude.
Well, and it's kind of funny that you said it because Scott, you mentioned tentacle porn over there. Now, in Japan, they get away with a lot more things in their games that are just considered mainstream than they would over here. There's a couple of games that were released over here. There's one that actually has an app called Tanto Kyure.
Okay.
It's made by Japanime Games. It's actually an app. It's a deck building game. Now, it's not too over the edge, but it kind of has like those young looking art where it's just kind of creepy, but you know, and there are maids. So it's kind of, it hit a little bit of flack, but there's a game called Tentacle Bento.
really?
Okay. And holy cow, Tentacle Bento. That one on Kickstarter.
Good.
Oh yeah, and it's kind of.
It's like I get that every time I go to the sushi restaurant. It's tentacle bento. Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, and it's basically like, you know, I don't want to, you know, forgive me for getting in trouble, but it's kind of got like a little bit of tentacle porn.
Oh no, kidding! Wow, look at this. Line. Jeez. All right.
Yeah, it's it crossed that line. They actually, if I remember correctly, they actually enough people raised hell that they took it off of Kickstarter. But they made so much money, they actually had made about $40,000 before they took it off Kickstarter, that they went to another one of the social crowdfunding sites, and they ended up getting all their money and funding it. But yeah, it's amazing what they can, I don't want to say what they can get away with. What's more mainstream over there?
Yeah. Well, no, it's mainstream for them to, you know, for businessmen who just got off running a division at Nissan to get on the train and crack open his brand new fresh in the mail copy of Rape Man. You know, like that's just the way they roll over there. And some of that you have to go, I don't know, like everybody wants everybody to have all the cultural sensitivity all at once. It's just kind of impossible because there's so many different levels and different things and stuff happening all over the world. And Japan is just famous for that, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a big thing inside that country to change some of that or not, but that's a perfectly acceptable thing to just go buy on the street, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you go down the streets in Akihabara and there's, you know, the images on the walls in plain view to miners walking by is sometimes fully exposed breasts with, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
the rate. Sorry, it's
surprising what they get. It's like Vegas.
It's called the series I messed up. It's called The Rape Man. So excuse me, I got that wrong.
Because Rape
Don't
Man
ask me what his
completely
power
different.
Is.
Yeah, I don't want to tell you what his power is. Yeah. His power is probably what you think it is. So there you
he
have it.
He wears a frog on his junk and goes around bashing people in the side of his head. Excelsior.
That restaurant guy, man.
As I leave you boys today.
Yeah.
Because as it is a holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. Scott, I may have told you this before, but Ibit, I may not have told you this. I want to give you guys a tip for your grilling pleasure this weekend.
Oh nice. Cool. If, as long as it's a beef
tip.
With
Rape Man.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay. I want you to use English muffins as your buns this weekend for your burgers.
Okay.
And that will infuse your happiness by about 1,000%.
Why is that now? Tell me.
It's so good. It's still the bread, but it's the crunch, and it actually it absorbs the juices a little bit better than just your average bun, because buns get soggy when you got an English muffin that you have to toast it obviously first.
This
don't just cut
good.
It and use it.
Yeah.
But you get it kind of on that edge of. Not quite burned, but it's crispy.
Yeah.
And so,
you know what? The benefit of that is there's less bread, so it's less carbs.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Less starch.
Nope. That's because it's
all nooks and crannies, so it's a lot better for you.
Yeah, it's got air in there, and right. It's got and can I slather it in sriracha sauce as well? Is that fine?
You could do whatever you want.
Because I had a beef hot dog the other day. It is the best beef hot dog I ever had, and I'm convinced it's because I put sriracha on it. It was so freaking good. Oh, my gosh. I want another one right now.
Huh. All right, boys.
But I won't. Dan, stay out of trouble. Have fun, and go knock over some cowboys.
Happy 4th, everybody, and we'll see you soon.
Cow meeples.
See you, Dan.
Cow meeples, yeah. All right. We're going to do some quick questions quickly here. This is our Ask TMS question part of the show. The hashtag Ask TMS is what you use. You can use it all week, especially on Thursdays, and we'll answer stuff. Like, for example, let me get to the live feed. Ask TMS, how come Coverville, says Peter Fisher, can't differentiate between Watto and Sebulba?
Okay, well, that must have been a pretty recent one.
Yep, I think just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, Sebulba was the driver, and I don't even think he talked, but Watto was the Italian.
Anakin, what are you doing to my padre, sir? You're my slave.
That was Watto, right?
That's Watto, yes.
Okay. Sebulba's who?
Peter Fisher, would you like to know why? Because those movies are shit. Yeah, and I watched them once and...
They're garbage.
I've watched them more than once, but come on.
I've only seen Phantom Menace once. Only one time.
Brian, how come you get a couple of characters in Johnny Mnemonic confused?
Nice. All right, how about this one? This is one for me. Loy Panetta says, on your Kickstarter video, the toothpick, did you finish eating it or does it help you draw? Oh, did you just finish eating or does it help you draw? I keep a toothpick around a lot because it, for whatever reason, it just helps me focus and concentrate. Yeah. So I've always got a toothpick sticking out of my mouth.
I know a couple people who do that. Tina's dad does that. Always has a toothpick in his mouth and it's a focus thing. It's interesting.
Kind of a weird habit. Mm-hmm. All right, here you go. Halcyon Ass. Brian, this is, we'll give you this one. What is your favorite / least favorite TV series finale?
Okay, so favorite TV series finale.
I'm gonna
piss off somebody that hates this one, but I really like the Breaking Bad finale. I
did too.
I like the redemption.
Yeah.
I like that it did seal things kind of up for a lot of people, for a lot of storylines. And I like that You know, basically, Walter's last act was getting Jesse out of all the crap that he drug him into unwillingly.
Yeah.
So
I think that's a good one. I also think a really good one is the MASH one, since we just have been talking about that.
Oh, that's a great one, yeah.
Yeah, it's a hell of an ending. I think the final West Wing was really good. Mm-hmm. I like the last Seinfeld, despite a lot of people think. Mm-hmm. I think it's very funny.
Yeah, I like the last Seinfeld, too. As far as bad endings,
yeah.
Nurse Jackie was just on, and I was really disappointed with the way that one ended, although I realized that there was no other way you could end it. I mean, all right, kind of a bottom line. I won't give any spoilers in case people haven't seen it, because that's you know, less than 2 weeks old.
Sure.
When you've got characters that can't be left to their own devices to continue on. So basically, Walter White's a good example of this. His whole career in that show was making bad decisions. Mm. So to let him continue on and thrive in his way without a stop being put to his ability to make those bad decisions.
Yeah.
You would have had a satisfying ending. You would have been like, all right, well, here this ended fine, but you know, what's going to happen to him down the line?
Yeah.
You need to see some sort of turnaround. You need to see some sort of change, and you need to see some sort of completion to the character that makes you feel like, okay, this is, I feel like I've got enough closure that this will go on. Dexter, great example of a bad,
bad final ending. Season for that matter. That was a terrible last season. I'll tell you what, probably the most disappointing one I'd seen. Well, one of the better ones I've seen was, say, what's it called? Not Good Detective. What's it called?
Oh, True Detective.
True Detective. Good Detective. Mm-hmm. The first season of that, I thought that had a really great ending.
Yeah, it did.
And it did a lot of those things you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as shows that really disappointed me, for me, the granddaddy of them all, in terms of its final episode, which otherwise I loved the entire series, was Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, that's another good one.
There's a weird-ass ending with no real point and just floundered all over the place and was too metaphysical and just, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Not a
Sopranos
fan.
For me was another one that was like, all right, I would have liked a little bit more. I mean, I know that they've come out and basically all but confirmed that, yeah, Tony is dead.
Yeah, the latest, the thing that, what's his name, the creator, what's his name? I can't think of his name. David.
I keep thinking David Frost, David Fincher. It's David.
David Weir, David, whatever it is. David
Ball.
It's going to bug the hell out of me now. But he came out and said, I don't know why everyone's so confused. Tony was clearly shot.
Mm-hmm.
And
there were people in that diner that wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
He was not going to get out of there.
Yeah, it was exactly what I meant it to be. There shouldn't be any confusion. People can have their theories all they want. Tony was killed. Mm-hmm. It's just
and
as simple
that's
as
how,
that.
And that's how death would be. Like, you know, you'd be listening to the middle of a Journey song and then all of a sudden blackness.
Yeah, David and the way Chase, they, I loved it. I loved how, David Chase, I loved how that was structured. I really liked the way that final scene played out. As a finale overall, it left a lot of hanging stuff for me.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as a final scene goes, that is maybe one of the most genius scenes I've ever seen.
It is well crafted, but it wasn't enough for me.
Yeah.
One last one that I thought was fantastic, hasn't been mentioned in the chat room yet, is 6 Feet Under.
Yeah.
The finale to that one was so well done.
I still got to watch that show.
Oh, it's so good.
I got it now, and now I just need to watch it now.
Yeah. Thank you. Now you can watch it on now.
Yeah, maybe that's my next one. That's it for your questions. We'll do more next week. Keep those coming. AskTMS is the hashtag. Use it on Twitter, and we'll get to those for sure. Big thanks to everybody who makes the show possible. We never thank him enough, so I'm going to do it again. Scott Fletcher does our sweet little voice bumpers at the top and the bottom of the show. We love that guy. We love everything he does, and he likes a good pair of
boobies.
All right, great. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Support us at patreon.com/TMS, please. That'd be wonderful. We really appreciate it. That's why there's this episode, which will be up tomorrow for podcast listeners. And if you're watching live, why, you've just seen it entirely. Call us at 801-471-0462. I'm ignoring the goat thing. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. I got to go on the template. Get rid of that. On Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson and Coverville. That's going to do it for us. All right. And the Kickstarter's killing it. We're almost to the 40K level, which brings in Scott Kurtz and Steve Hammaker for some custom art. So if you want to support it, myextralife.com/book. And big thanks to everybody who supported that so far. All right, Brian,
nice.
Let's do this. Let's leave. Let's do some music.
Okay. And by the way, the 5-minute video of the frog ending to our meal is now available on my, it's basically, I just put it up on my Facebook page. So Okay. Everybody who did not hear this story is going to be really confused. There's going to be a lot of family members who, oh, this will be interesting. Exactly. No. All right. This one goes out to Bob Bateman, who wrote in, said, Dear Pinky and the Brain, the day of my birth quickly is approaching. Well, quickly went by on June 26th, and I'm just itching to hear an old favorite cover song, Institutionalized, by Suicidal Tendencies, as covered by Black Velvet Flag. If that's not another classic random obscure 80s cover, such as a cover of or by the Violent Femmes, may satisfy that weird craving as well. Or Bacon Cheddar Ranch, an 80s version? Since my birthday lands on a Friday, any time before or after would be great.
More of the show to hold. Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
Okay, go ahead.
More of the show to hold, Mo. Signed, Bob.
All right. We are, by law, we're required to play that every
time.
That's
right. It is a fiduciary agreement.
Yeah.
On their album Come Recline with Black Velvet Flag from 2005, a very, very different of the version of the song by the Suicidal Tendencies called Institutionalized. Now I'm going to go have a Pepsi.
Oh, that sounds nice. Well, there you have it. We'll play it now. We'll see you guys Monday for a whole new week at TMS. Thanks for being here. We'll see you then.
Thank you. This next one is a little something by Suicidal Tendencies. This is going to be our smash hit single, which is going to buy matching outfits for the whole band. Sometimes I try to do things and they just don't turn out the way I want them to. And I get real frustrated because I take my time and I try real hard. But no matter what I do and no matter what I try, things don't work out. And I take my time and I concentrate real hard. But, you know, things don't work out. And there's always somebody there going, hey, Fred, you know, we've been noticing you've been having a lot of problems lately. Would you like to talk about it? You know, you'll feel a lot better. I go, no, that's okay, you know, I'm having some problems, I'll figure it out, you know, if you just leave me alone, hey, maybe I can figure it out, you know, but then they go, Fred, why don't you talk about it, you'll feel a lot better, and I go, no, I don't want to talk about it, just leave me alone, you know, but they keep bugging me, so it builds up inside, it builds up inside, it builds up inside, I'm not crazy. Nothing. And my mom came in, and I didn't know she was there. And she called my name, and I didn't hear her. And she starts screaming, Fred, Fred. I go, what? What's the matter, Mom? She goes, what's the matter with you? I go, nothing, Mom. I'm okay, you know? She goes, don't tell me nothing. You're on drugs. I go, no, Mom. I'm not on drugs. I'm okay. You know, I'm just thinking. You know, so like, why don't you get me a Pepsi? She goes, no, you're on drugs. No, wait a minute. You're crazy. You know, normal people don't be acting that way. I go, no, Mom. Fine, you know, so like, you know, why don't you get me a Pepsi, you know? And she wouldn't give it to me. Just one Pepsi. All I wanted was a Pepsi. Just one Pepsi. I'm not crazy. You're the one that's crazy. You're driving me crazy. They suck me. Pulled up a chair and they sat down and they said, Fred, we need to talk to you. I go, okay, about what? They go, well, Fred, we've been noticing you've been having a lot of problems lately and you haven't been acting like yourself. And we're afraid that you're gonna hurt somebody and we're we're afraid that you're going to hurt yourself. So we decided it would be in your best interest if we put you somewhere where you can get the help that you need. I go, whoa, wait a minute, what are we talking about here? We decided my best interest? How could you know? How could you say what my best interest is? What are you trying to say? You're trying to say that I'm crazy? When I went to your schools, I went to your churches, I went to your institutional learning facilities? So what are you trying to say? You're trying to say that I'm crazy?
I'm not crazy.
Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
That's because he's so shifty.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't work.